Welcome to another edition of the Game Sports Podcast. I am David McCaig, host of The Game. The Game is powered by 91 Network. On this episode of The Game, there'll be two segments. In the first segment, I will be joined by new co-host Brendan McCarthy. We'll be talking about all things National Hockey League, but we're going to take a deep dive in particular to Toronto Maple Leafs news this week, as well as Scotiabank Arena quietness. In the second segment, I'll be joined by Justin Heichel for our In the Pocket segment, where we'll be getting into some NCAA news, our Week 9 pick'em, and more news around a gridiron. Let's go. Oh yeah, and it's time for the Game Sports Podcast. This is your host, David McCaig Jr., here for another episode of The Game. And without further ado, let's introduce the co-host joining yours truly this evening. He is new to the Game Sports Podcast family, okay? But he is not new to the world of sports, of course. Supporting a backwards hat today, love it. And sweaters. It seems like the sweater trend has been happening a lot on the show for recordings. I love it. Brendan, my friend, how's it going?
I'm doing good, buddy. Happy to be back with you here, and I feel like a lot has changed in Leafland since we last recorded, but we can get to that shortly.
Yeah. A lot of things, right? The game of hockey throughout the season, things change, and that's why a lot on this show, we take a different direction. We do interviews with all the athletes, but we also take news in a different concept, so you're not hearing what the other guy is already talking about. So I'm going to make sure I stress that. But obviously, this week we have yourself and me. We don't have Parr join us this evening, schedule conflicts, which is my fault. And things that didn't change from last week, my background, I kept Marty Turco up in the background supporting Sault Ste. Marie, where, of course, the Game Sports Podcast is located. Brendan is not located in Sault Ste. Marie, though, may I add. He's located closer to this team right here as I move over to my right in the GTA area, as I would like to say, or some other ones from the north, we like to say down south, whatever you want to look at it. Either way, he's not in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. And Brendan, like you said, last week we did talk, and we talk all teams here when it comes to hockey, comes to sports, but here in our top shelf segment, may I add, this is the top shelf segment where we talk hockey. And let me remind you what top shelf means. Think of Morgan Riley when he went top shelf on, either way, whatever you want to look at it, on Connor Hellebuyck last night. And again, I'm going to remind you, this is a pre-recorded show, so it's October the 29th when we are recording this show. And Morgan Riley went top shelf on Connor Hellebuyck, and that was a big character win for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I think that's a good segue because we do have the Leafs on our topics today amongst a few other ones in our short period today. So we'll go right into it. The Leafs had Jake McCabe get re-signed. We'll have a little bit of the discussion about that. But ultimately, the last time we talked about the Leafs were on a high before the last time we recorded. High. They were 3-1-1. But of course, now, since that point, until the win against the Winnipeg Jets, a team that was undefeated, mind you, they had a little bit of struggles that they were experiencing, Brendan. And, you know, that's the joys of this year. And it's still only 10 games in, but people were not liking what was happening for Toronto for the past week until that game in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I mean, Toronto Maple Leafs fans, their emotions can change on a dime. And it can be great, all hunky-dory one week. You know, players are like, you know, star college running backs. Everyone wants to hang out with them. And then there's one week where it's just like, oh my God, we need to go on like a 7-game road trip to get out of the city. It's that bad. But that's the life of a Toronto Maple Leaf. And obviously fans are nuts for hockey. So yeah, the last time we recorded, everything was good. They beat Tampa Bay decisively. And then as we were recording the last episode, the game was ongoing between Leafs and Columbus. And as soon as we wrapped our episode, Dave, I tuned into the game and Columbus was already up 3-0. And I was like, oh my God, is this just a scheduled loss? And then I was like, okay, it's a Flush'em game, whatever. You know, you go to Toronto, probably gone to Columbus late. It's National Hockey League. At some point, you got to take each team seriously. You can't take a night off. Okay, yeah. Flush'em game. Then they come back to Toronto against the Blues. All right, let's get a win maybe for Craig Berube, right? His former team led them to a cup, yada, yada, yada. All right, looking for a nice response. They lay an egg again. And then it's like, okay, panic starts to kick in. And then it's like, who do we got next? Boston, in Boston Saturday night. And then I actually thought they played really well. They took them to overtime. I thought the big gun showed up. Obviously, Matthews gave up a pizza to Marchand for the eventual game winner. But it's just like emotions. It's like a roller coaster for Leaf fans because it's like up and down. And it's just like, oh, it would have been nice to scrape out another point. But they come away with the point. And then you got Winnipeg. And it's like, geez, you can't catch a break because they're 8-0 coming in. Yeah. And, you know, once again, the Leafs had a really, really strong start. They put up 4 goals. Johnny Tavares had a hat trick. Obviously, Winnipeg didn't roll over. They pressed and almost tied it and forced overtime. Yeah. And ultimately, they got it done. And they, you know, snapped Winnipeg's winning streak. They were the only undefeated team in the league, correct? So,
right. And that it was this, look at Max Pacioretty in that game. Like, the chemistry is, it's great to see a 950,000 give or take player come on and get that chance and do good. I love seeing the guys that don't get paid that much do very good and score
100%. Yeah.
Those are those bargain chips that are so imperative to your lineup to put that secondary or that, I used to call it thirdly scoring when back in my coaching and playing days, if those are the guys that are on your third and fourth line. I know there's an actual term called secondary, but I like to call it thirdly. Okay.
Thirdly.
Okay. Thirdly scoring. I'm going to call it thirdly scoring. That's how I used to call it. I'm going to stick to that, as no matter how dumb that makes me sound right now. Those are the type of guys, those bargain chip, those are guys that you can plug into the lineup. And him and Tavares, good chemistry. Willie's been playing well. Nyes is great. The way he plays the game fits this Toronto team, and playing with Matthews and Marner, I think that's also a good fit.
Yeah. And I also think, Dave, too, I mean, I touched on Berube in the last episode, but I also think it's important to bring him up again, because he's not afraid to shuffle the deck. He's not afraid if he's going to hurt your feelings and drop you down for a game or healthy scratch you, right? Last game, Nick Robertson takes a seat in the press box, but then this forms a really cool line combination in Max Pacioretty, John Tavares, and William Nylander. They were the hottest line last night. Max Domi shifts down to the third line. And this is kind of like the rugged, you know, candid Frank Craig Berube that, you know, the team and the city wanted, because it's like you have to make tough decisions if you want to win. Yeah. Whether you're going to get benched, healthy, scratched. He doesn't give a flying F. All right. Yeah. He's there to win. And this is something where, you know, this Leafs team need to understand. Perhaps in the past it was seen as this country club where, you know, music at practice, yada, 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 all the fun and skillful stuff, all-star game in Toronto. You know, they're wearing cowboy hats and fancy suits to the rink. No, show up. It's a job. Get it done. Grind away. Scrape away. And Berube is going to, if it's going to take, you know, every game to hammer that home, then that's the case. But eventually it's going to have to, you know, stick in their minds. And I think it's very, very early in the season, as you said, Dave, off the top, but it's something that this team still needs to understand, like what it takes to win. There's a lot of sacrifice. There's a ton of sacrifice, but
you want to win the cup, you have to sacrifice literally in the game. Tanev type play, Matthews.
Yes.
Those guys going to get in the dirty areas. Those are the guys, the Domies. Those are the guys that I love seeing in the playoffs.
And yeah, that's the grit grinders.
Those are the guys that help you. And you can have the flash and everything, but if you don't have those balance offsets, you're not going to be successful. And a lot of that's not just the team base. It's from a coaching perspective. Coaches can hold players, accountable. That's what's going to allow for success. And this is no jab at Keefe. I have nothing but respect for Keefe. I got to watch him coach the Greyhounds here before he joined the Phillies and the Leafs. And it's great. And I had the opportunity to just a brief meet in person, hi, how are you, walk by type thing, and because of the media side of things. But this nice, he was always a nice guy, respected in town. But ultimately, when he went to Toronto, it's not that he failed. He's had a great winning percentage. He just failed in the playoffs, and it wasn't that expectation. And I think the type of coach that Berube is, that's what's going to help this team get to that next level. And if he can't get them to that next level, you know, it's not a coaching thing. You know, that's an accountability that's to be put on the players. Yeah. Now it's on the players. If they don't succeed this season, there's something with that core. Or is it Shanahan? And I'm going to be honest with you. It's the core more than Shanahan is. These are guys, but I know people always say that, hey, you got to believe in something. Don't give up on something. Like, look what happened in Washington. They eventually won. And that doesn't always happen. Okay. Eventually you're going to have to make changes. And this year, I think Tree Living did changes that were big. And speaking of those changes, he's locked up some significant D pieces in the past.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan he's already been locked up for a little bit of term. But if you think of players that he's added up to the recent contract extension, Tanev, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, okay. Obviously, the trade deadline last year, he brought in Labushkin. He brought back Labushkin. I was a fan of that.
Yep.
But he re-signed Jake McCabe to a very affordable cap hit, under $4.3 million per season, locked him up for a handful of years, five-year deal. You have Riley, Larsson, Tanev, and McCabe, four defensemen locked up for 4 years at least between everybody.
Okay. There's four. There's your core four on the back end, right?
Yeah. You have guys that are NHL guys that are going to do very well back there and not at very expensive. Ekman-Larsson's very affordable. Tanev is, I know his contract is just rough looking because of his age, but
the term's long,
exactly. Riley, no, love Riley's contract. He's locking up big pieces and he's recognizing him. Jake McCabe has been a tremendous addition. Thank you, Dubas, to that move. That was a good move getting him from Chicago. He's fitting in really nicely there and he's found a home and he's gotten a bit more comfortable with his play and he deserves that extension.
Yeah. And you also got Benoit too on a cheap deal as well, who's always mixing it up. And, you know, he's the type of player that Berube needs to play a bunch to, you know, push back and, you know, keep the nonsense from happening from opposing teams, defend the goalie. I love watching Simone Benoit play. So in terms of their defense, like it's finally starting to take shape. And for years, it's like, who can play with Riley? And there's a lack of depth, right? And after Riley and, you know, whoever, who do we got? Like it was scary thin. And now it's like, okay, we got Ekman-Larsson who just won a cup. Chris Tanev is like, you know, as Bobby McMahon calls him, a biscuit eater. You got Morgan Riley, who's been there since, you know, 2012 onward, the dog days of Leafland. Fair. And then, who am I missing? You just got Jake McCabe, who's locked up 5 years, I believe. I think it was 4.5 mil per. But, there, yeah. But, I mean, those are four, like, great, solid defensemen. And it's like, okay, these are the guys we want to win with on our back end. And it's nice that it's now kind of rounded out effectively.
That's a good way to put it. And I think the biggest surprise, I think Leaf fans will agree, is Oliver Ekman-Larsson this year. I feel like he's shown some grittiness to that team that's going to be a good asset. Age aside, these guys still have a lot of gas left in the tank. So what I want to mention about the Leafs further, given time, is Scotiabank Arena. Okay, before we go to a couple other, we're going to talk McDavid briefly and another point before we sign off because we're already 12 minutes in. So Scotiabank Arena, this is something we've talked about on the show and I was waiting and thinking that we might save this for par. And hey, if we make this a three-way discussion after, great. But a couple years ago, and you can look back at shows, every year we seem to talk about this problem. The Toronto Maple Leafs and Scotiabank Arena, okay, is I've been in that rink a lot of times. I've been very fortunate. I've been able to go see and take advantage of friends' tickets that I know in the area and see a lot of games. I've seen the Saturday night games, the Tuesday night games, the Thursday night games. Never seen a playoff game, but I've seen games in all different areas and different times. And overall, the last time I've been at Scotiabank Arena to sit in a game was actually before COVID. Every year that I go see them, I went to a different rink outside of Toronto because of this. Because it's too expensive, which leads me to my point. Scotiabank Arena, there's so many. Jesse Pollock is one guy. I don't mind name dropping. There's Mike Raleigh is one guy on Instagram. He doesn't have the most appropriate post when it comes to hockey, so I'm not encouraging it, but he had a very funny Scotiabank video saying that there's another individual, too, that I follow on social media that's saying, hey, I'm trying to read a book. Everyone be quiet. I'm reading a book. Everyone quiet. Hey, shh. Everyone quiet, please. Okay.
You're in a library.
I'm on chapter five. Okay. Voldemort is just about, I won't spoil it for people that haven't watched Harry Potter or read the Harry Potter books. But honestly, I honestly, you go to Scotiabank Arena and it's so sad, Brandon. It is so sad. It is the hockey mecca of the world. The fans are the fans that go to the road games in Winnipeg. When I went to Columbus, half the arena was Leaf fans, okay, because it's cheaper to buy a ticket, drive to Columbus, and stay in Columbus before it is to buy a ticket in Toronto. So it's unfortunate, and it's such an old topic, but Scotiabank Arena is so dead. all the time. The true fans in the play are the ones outside. I feel like it's a open-ended topic, but it's such an embarrassment as a fan when I see those empty seats and see guys on their Blackberries. It's literally just a rich environment, and I want to see the true fans of Scotiabank Arena, the true ones.
Dave, I 100% agree, and I'm with you, man. It is really frustrating to see two big things. The suits dominate the Platinums, right? For them, they're not going to see a Leaf game. It's an event. It's basically like social hour for them. So they might creep in around like the 10-minute mark of the first period and then, you know, go get their sushi rolls at one of the intermissions, and then they'll come back out if it's a tight game. So that's why they're always empty, because it's an event. They're like entertaining clients. It's not really like, throw on my, Matthews jersey, you're going to go support the Leafs. Like, it's not like, like a Winnipeg Jets fan who is showing up decked out in all their gear.
Yep.
Right. Like, the fans suck. Like, in terms of their energy, they do suck. And I think that's not all the fans. Like you said, outside Scotiabank Arena, they are passionate, they are electrifying, and they're, a treat to watch. The TV's always panning to them because their energy in the building sucks. The
grabbing
fans,
each other, they're hugging, they're doing platforming on three people. They're doing it's literally insanity.
Lower bowl does suck. The energy compared to other buildings is not good. The upper bowl is a party. It's a different feel, atmosphere. But the other thing too, at this point, I think people even in the building are just expecting another heartbreak. They're disinterested because they know how the movie ends, and they're fearful, right? Yeah. Like, we can talk so much about, corporate seats and suits and, the real fans are outside or in the upper bowls. But at some point, I would say people even going, like, it's a fun night out for big sports fans. But sometimes it's like, is this just the same old song and dance for this team? Are we going to have the same outcome that we do in previous years? So I think it's a mix of suits who don't give a blank, and also people who are actually truly into the Maple Leafs that are just so exhausted from what's gonna, probably transpire again. I'll say it. Probably, you know what I mean? Like, it's coupled with that. But it is frustrating that, there has been some nights where it's like, whoa, like I you could hear a pin drop basically. Yeah. So it is frustrating, but those are the two big things for me: the suits and just people who are just like, it's going to be the same thing. First round exit.
It's this all year. You go through this, and then you have a big high optimism, and then guess what? You get crushed.
Yeah,
get crushed.
So that's it, probably.
And I love this conversation. I love that we have it each year on this show. I haven't posted a clip about it. And of course, the time that I don't, it kind of goes viral a little bit. So maybe it would have been the time. Maybe I'll have to do a collection of clips all the years that I've talked about it and put it onto one. But that aside, we'll transition from the Leafs, because we did put a little bit of time in there and we only got a little bit more brief time. We'll save more Scotiabank. I'm sure we'll talk about it as
this season goes.
The McDavid injury, obviously, by the time this gets posted, the latest on Thursday, the 31st, on Halloween. Happy Halloween in advance to everybody out there who's obviously celebrates that way. I was going to put my costume on tonight. Didn't do it.
Almost. That would have been hilarious.
It was going to be funny. I didn't do it. There's still a chance for the next segment. Maybe I'll put it on for the next segment. That aside, the McDavid injury. We don't know we're probably going to have an update by the time this gets uploaded. But obviously, when McDavid goes down, it comes a hot topic. The best player in the game goes down. The Oilers are already in a struggle. You're also thinking, people always forget, it seems like, Four Nations faceoff. Are people forgetting that this year? I don't know. But like, if McDavid had a torn ACL, every Oiler fan just dropped to the ground.
Oh my gosh.
there'd be a problem. There would, that would be a problem for Hockey Canada, let alone the Oilers and the National Hockey League. So honestly, you never want to see that, but him getting up on his own power, skating off, I understand you can have a little tear, a little pull, but I don't think it looks as serious as people are making it to be, Brandon, to be honest with you. But we could be wrong, and I don't want to get into it too much because it might not be relative points shortly, and I might be look like an idiot, or maybe I look right, or maybe I am right, but it didn't seem that serious from quick glance.
It's bad timing, just given the Oilers' start. I mean, Hyman has been cold. Right, they really would just have to look to Draisaitl at this point. And it's always like a sky is falling panic when there's a McDavid injury scare, because it's like, oh, like when he is out of that lineup, it's an entirely different team. But that's just, you know, it comes back to depth, right? I mean, Matthews has missed countless games for Toronto, and they're kind of just like, all right, steady go. Like, it hasn't been, you know, his absence is missed, but I think they've always been able to persevere and also just like salvage points. And it's like, okay, he's missed, like, you know, he's day to day, misses like 5 to 7 games. Like, okay, like we're gonna have to manage without him, right?
Good teams find ways to win.
Good teams find ways to win. And for now, Edmonton, it's like, you know what? Expect him to miss some time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, week to week, it's like, oof, day to day. All right, let's try and scrape together some wins. Didn't start too hot. I think they got pounded the other night. Was it last night against Columbus? They beat them 6-1.
Yep.
Yeah, so they got...
Stupid looks like poo. Sorry.
But this is the problem. Like, when your team runs through McDavid and Draisaitl and you eliminate one of those guys for some time or an extended period of time, it's like, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
Right? So strap on your boots, players.
Time to go to work and put the hard hat on. That's what one of my old coaches used to say.
Yeah.
I think the one team that I want to talk about before we sign off, and, you know, I look across the NHL, and it's the Pittsburgh Penguins, okay? The Pittsburgh Penguins, to start the year at this point, 10 games, they're 3-6-1. Crosby signs this contract, and I have a clip that comes out that says, most unselfish athlete to play a sport. That was my quote about Crosby. That was my point about him. Letang, Malkin, these guys have been together for ever. Dubas is the GM down there. Sue ties are there. But he just extended in Pittsburgh, right? And the big reason for this extension, and he did say it, he wanted to win again. He wanted to save money. He wanted to stay in Pittsburgh. I'm sure the underlying reason was to remain in Pittsburgh and be there for his career. But Crosby deserves better than this, Brandon. This team, I've said at the beginning of the year, and I'll say it again, this is not a playoff team. This is not a team that is going to make the playoffs. You're going to hear me say it here, and it's not an expert knowledge opinion by any means, but this team does not look effective. Crosby, I feel him and Malkin, they still have their effects and fingerprints on the game. Crosby is awesome to watch still, but this is somebody who I feel bad for. And I, despite winning 3 cups, gold medal, he's hopefully going to win 4 nations this year. Sorry, Americans and every other country. We're Canadians, so got to expect that. And hopefully he gets another gold medal around his neck before he retires. Because I can assure you one thing, he's not going to get a Stanley Cup ever again in Pittsburgh if he stays there. Right? That you got to think that loyalty and staying with the team is great. But you had to be surprised that Crosby would consider and think that he can win again with this team. So that aside, what he said, and I hope he really meant that he was just staying there to be loyal to Pittsburgh, because I would have respected that comment a little bit more, because that's what's going to happen. This team is not playoff bound. They're not going to be playoff bound while he's there still. When he retires and they rebuild, then he may be. But this is, I feel bad for Crosby. So I want to spend this last minute or two just saying, you got to give, like, free Crosby next year if this is the direction of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Trade him somewhere for one more chance to win.
Yeah, it's unfortunate just because Pittsburgh, that team is just not exciting at all. And you have Sid in a situation where he's still you know, in his mind, it's like, you know, it's like 2009. We can will our way there, right? Yeah. But at some point, you know, Father Time catches up, and also your supporting cast is not what it once was, right?
No.
And look, we can talk about Sid as a person, right? Unselfish, loyal to the fan base. But there's something about, you know, as an athlete, like retiring or leaving on a high, right? If he were to leave in the offseason, Dave, it would have been like, holy smokes, like bow to this man, got us 3 cups. You know, his resume is
revived the organization when he got drafted,
revived. Man, yeah.
It went bankrupt, man. Yeah. That team was trash.
So it's unfortunate because it's like when he does retire, it's just like, damn, those last couple of years in Pitt were just like, it was almost like a waste of time. I probably should have reconsidered going to like Colorado to play with Mac, or, you know, a contending team, like, right?
Dare I say Toronto?
yeah, I was gonna say Boston, but
yeah.
But it's just, oh, like, It's a slow burn, because it's just like, no, you can't. I mean, he ultimately agreed to sign on 2 more years, right? 2 more years at 8.7. Yeah. But it's just like, oh man, like for you know, one of the greatest players to lace him up, it's like, this is how it's going to end. It's just, it leaves a sour taste in my mouth.
This is a team that's at this time of recording has lost 5 in a row. They were 3-1-1, kind of a start. And I was like, oh, okay, Pittsburgh, I see you. Okay, maybe there is a little change. And then the true colors, the true black and yellow.
Yeah. Came,
okay. And they have a minus 13 goal differential at the time of this recording. And they're in a tough division. New Jersey, New York Rangers, Carolina is no joke. Washington improved this year. I still think Washington's overrated. Sorry, call me out on that. And the Islanders have not lived up to what they have been the last cup, like to what they can do last year and this year. I just can't understand the Islanders. I thought they'd be a very tenacious team. So if Pittsburgh's going to do something, it's a wild card finish. That's my honest opinion. If they make it, they won't. My prediction is they won't. But you know what you get for a present if you do that? You get the Florida Panthers, or you get the Tampa Bay Lightning, Toronto, whatever team in the Atlantic that's hot, which is all good teams because the division is so even. Then the Metropolitan, you get the New York Rangers, who are arguably, I know I predicted Leafs Oilers Cup finals, me being the biased / optimistic Canadian hockey fan. Let's be real. I'm in love with the Rangers. Okay, that is a team that almost looks like the team that's going to make it this year out of the East. I know, and Florida, can't pull it away from Florida. They still look solid too, right? But that's what you get if you make the wild card. You get a present with one of these guys. And unless you're the Vancouver Canucks of the 2000, I believe that's 2011, when they lost to Boston, then, you know, you make it to the Cup Finals. Those are far few in between. This is a team that wouldn't have that depth to do that. And it's like you said, that's a great point. You get down to Crosby, and I like to use Yzerman not as a comparison, as a player, but his last game against the Oilers, he has a picture. It was Stevie Y's last step on the ice in Edmonton. Okay, but in Detroit, this is a guy who had such an impressive career, and he left on a decently high note because the Red Wings were still good at the time that he left, right? There's a team that was still successful, making the playoffs all the time. Crosby is not on that case, and I feel like he needs and deserves better, and I wish he would have went signed somewhere else. Or, you know, I hope Dubas is the guy, the Sioux boy, pulls the trigger to pull and trade Sidney Crosby. And there would be no better fit, Brandon, than with Nathan MacKinnon in Colorado. Nonetheless, Brandon, what we're going to do is I got Justin Hykel waiting in the wings for In the Pocket, of course. We're 28 minutes in. We're about 13 minutes overdue. See, I guess Parr wasn't lying that we go a little bit overtime, but nonetheless, we went into what we can tonight in our short period of time. When we come back next week, hopefully it's me, you, and Parr. For three of us, we'll get back to some of the games that we played and a little bit more of those intense topics that I want to start talking about as the Game Sports Podcast nears our debut on Spaces as well. Very excited about that. But nonetheless, Brandon, it's been an interesting talk.
Yeah, it has been. I'm sorry. I hope I'm not this distracted next week and there's no beeping going on at my cottage.
you don't have to apologize. It's me that's taking up your overtime. Okay. It's me that is literally making you stay longer because of my running mouth and starting different topics. So you are good to go, my friend. I'm going to let you go. And when we come back next week, we'll talk more hockey, of course, me, you, and Alex. And thanks again, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate you.
We'll be right back here on The Game. We got Justin Heichel joining yours truly for In the Pocket segment. Don't want to miss it. Welcome back to the Game Sports Podcast. David McKay continuing to host you this evening here on The Game. I am joined for the In the Pocket segment, which is presented by SportsCenter Bar and Grill and sponsored by SportsCenter Bar and Grill. That's in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario's best sports bar, the Game Sports Podcast, powered by 91 Network, of course, but SportsCenter Bar and Grill, the original home to the Game Sports show at the time when we started, now the Game Sports Podcast. And as I mentioned, Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario's best sports bar, best wings, great atmosphere. And of course, on In the Pocket, we talk football in all angles, local, regional, and national, with a heavy dive into national, of course. I am joined by Justin Heichel, my friend. Justin, another week of In the Pocket, and we are now in week 9 of the National Football League. 9 weeks ago, me, you, and EJ were doing episode 1 of this season 8 of In the Pocket. The season's flying by right now.
We're pretty well at the halfway point in the regular season now. Daylight savings time coming up. Shout out Cora Football on the weekend. We've winning the city championship. So, I mean, that's when high school sports changeover starts to happen. You kind of realize, we're like halfway, but we're close to American Thanksgiving, which is another sports holiday on its own. So we'll just roll with it.
Love it. And we just passed the sports equinox. That's on Monday, where you had everything on at once, which was great. And as Heichel said, Cora Football is a Sault Ste. Marie based high school for those outside of the Sioux. So congratulations to Cora. They're big fans of the Game Sports Podcast. We've had coaches on there. We have analysts that are casual members of our show now, but that have had their fingerprints on the Cora Football organization, of course. So obviously the Game Sports Podcast holds Cora right here, close to the heart, of course, even though Heichel and I both didn't go there for high school. Fun fact. Before we get into the National Football League, I am going to dive into a reminder about the NCAA. Now, when it comes to the NCAA, I'm going to give everyone just a quick little blurb. EJ Russell is the expert on this panel and show when it comes to college football. And when it comes to college football, Justin and EJ are the ones that I would trust going back and forth. With me, I follow it. Am I a passionate college football fan? Not like, whoa, I gotta get in. But I have been an Oregon Duck fan since 2012, if everyone really wants to know, Marcus Mariota. So I am a fan. I bought into it. I like it. I watch it routinely now. But when it comes to the expert opinions, that is EJ. I'm going to be honest with you. But I'm going to say something. I can read. That's one thing I can do, I promise you, most days. And there's a team that's in first in all of college football, and that team is, of course, the Oregon Ducks. So I want to just make sure I say that, because that is a team that I cheer for, and it's great to see teams be successful. It's good to see a team overachieving this year, as I point at the video to my sweater. Of course, as a hockey fan, a lot of disappointments, okay? So my sports has been very kind of mixed up of emotions. I've seen the Super Bowl. I've seen the NBA championship. And where am I going with this? I'll tell you what. Seeing the first rank Oregon absolutely is a goal of mine. And this weekend, they play Michigan. And I am currently looking at tickets and thinking about going, because I think this is the year to go. All right. But I'm going to remind everyone of the top five currently for the NCAA for football. Oregon, Georgia, Penn State, Ohio State, and Miami, Florida. So those are the top five right now. But there's one team, and I know Matthew McConaughey is going to like this. Obviously, the team that I think that should be in the top five is Texas. I think Texas, based on how obviously the quarterback situation, but of course that is a very octane offense. I feel like that is a team that is not getting the credit that it deserves. I know record speaks volumes, and seeing Ohio State 6-1, Texas 7-1. I feel like Texas maybe should be a little up, Miami down, Ohio State. I feel like Texas should be in the top five. And overall, it doesn't matter, because nobody is dethroning Oregon this year. I've watched Oregon's games all year. Gabriel, The guy is lights out. The defense is lights out. Not only are their jerseys lights out, the fans have been lights out. The Oregon Duck commercials have been off the chains this year. If you're an Oregon Duck fan, you are loving college football right now. But one team that isn't in that top 25 is the defending champions, Michigan, which has been a little bit of an unfortunate season for them up to this point. People didn't think they'd be at this point at this season. Well, I didn't believe they would be.
They'd be where they're at. They are.
Yeah.
It's a challenging year for them. That's for sure.
Very challenging, an adjustment year, right? And obviously this is a year that after you win the national championship, you could expect growing pains, but these are more than growing pains if you're a Michigan fan. But what I like to see is in college football is that the games have a different excitement, a different feel to them overall. And when it comes to the games, it's different than the NFL. Okay. These are college kids in comparison to NFL men. That's also the difference. Grown adults, experienced football players. And what goes back to my point about knowledge and football and what I want to talk about with college football, I just want to talk about the overall pace, you know, and I feel like the game is different in terms of how that freedom is for the quarterback to pass. You see a lot of the offense really, really be showcased a lot more in college football. And it's because of the players' levels all over. But Oregon Gabriel has taken it to a different level this year. He is at Bo Nix level. He is playing at a Mariota Heisman level, if you want to compare him to Oregon greats, right? These are performances that we see that are great to see. But quarterbacks in general in college football are really highlighted. And the running game is so much more yardage is what the running back gets. And it seems like the running backs are able to gain just more yardage because of their build. And it's amazing. I just love the college football atmosphere, Justin. And I feel like the offense is really demonstrated more in college football.
It's like team by team basis, honestly. Yeah. And what talent you have, what your quarterback can do, how much of a game manager he can be. I mean, not that I'm going to take some shots here, but I mean, I think what Oregon's working with and Anthony Richardson at Florida only played 3 minutes in high school and 4 minutes in college, probably only knows two or three plays before he has to take a break off. So, it really depends on the staff that you have, players, not staff. You know, like a team like Texas, I mean, they have two standout quarterbacks, right? You know, and it's...
And they're killing teams a lot this year. 56-7. I know these are teams that aren't, don't get me wrong, there's teams that they should be, like Oklahoma, you know, but Vanderbilt was more of a tough game than they realized it would be. But 52-0 against, you know, State, right? Colorado State, if everyone wants to know what that is. But obviously you got Quinn Ewers on the, and then you got Manning. They got options there in Texas. And that's why I think that team deserves to be higher up. And Penn State, the Lions, are where they need to be, I feel like. Obviously, this is a team that's third ranked in the nation.
They have a big game this week, too, don't they?
Yeah, so this week, and I'm looking at their schedule right now, they play Ohio State this week.
Yeah.
And that's got to be the college game of the week. That is the Big Ten. That is the game that you want to watch. Saturday at noon to watch that game, Eastern time.
I thought that was going to be a Saturday night game for some reason.
Yeah, and honestly, this will depend, and this will cause a little bit of movement if Penn loses, Ohio State gets to gain that ground and gain a little bit of higher ranking going into the following week. So, but going forward in their schedule, you got Washington, Purdue, Minnesota, Maryland, does Penn State. So after Ohio State, these are wins that Penn State's going to have. So if you're Ohio State, you want to get that win, but this is the college game of the week this week. This is what you got to tune in and watch. And when you look at the Ohio State Buckeyes, they have one loss this year. And of course that loss was to Oregon. And it was a game that they arguably could have won. But if you look at Will Howard and you look at Carnell Tate, that's the name I was making sure to confirm. There's a guy from a receiving perspective with the Ohio State. This is a team that has national championship aspirations this year, but they're not that loss to Oregon. People are saying, they're not going to do it this year. They're not good enough to do it. Are you kidding me right now? They could have won that game against Oregon. And I'm saying this as an Oregon fan. They could have kicked the football and won that football game, but they didn't do that. They went in a different direction. And this is a team that is, if you're an Oregon fan or a national football fan or a college football fan, you're watching Ohio State and you're watching Texas. These are the two teams that you're watching to be next up to Oregon as my top three favorites. And that's no offense to, of course, Georgia, you know, to, of course, Penn State, and to, of course, Tennessee, who's also got to be, and Miami, who's in there as well. But when you watch Ohio State and you watch, you just watch the Ohio State play, this team is a team that easily could be undefeated, Justin. They lost to Oregon, who is 8-0. So it's not a loss that it should come as a surprise to anybody.
It's with college football, there's always a, there's a couple teams that are like 1A, and then you have about eight teams that are like 1B. Before you get into the, there's just usually one or two teams that are like, they could probably beat the bottom half of the NFL. Like, just with how, like, and I don't mean that as a cheap shot or, you know, my usual nonsense. It's just the way the programs are run, the way the coaching is, like, they're just a better run program than some NFL franchises. It's facts. There's more money in the college program. They can hire the guys. They can pay their coaches $1 trillion to be the guy who goes out and rolls out everyone's yoga mat. Like, it doesn't, it's just crazy that what if your college program is winning, what winning does for the hype train, the success, the future success of the program. Like, yeah, like it's crazy. And if you consistently, like Ohio State, you win consistently, you're going to stay in the top echelon of teams consistently. Oregon's really no different. I mean, they've had some drop-offs, but never really far enough. Like, not like a Michigan this year. Yes. Like, Michigan is totally
not there.
Yeah, not there. I don't.
It's a team that doesn't have that offense. They've lost a lot of pieces. And look at this. We've spent 11 minutes and 30 seconds talking about college football, you mean. That's the most that we have.
That's the most we've done ever, I think.
And it's great because we talked about a piece of topic that I think EJ would have been proud of, something that we are able to get into and talk about in general. Obviously, I went down a rabbit hole with talking about Ohio State and Penn State and these teams that could be really big threats and talk about players like Tate and players that could be effective. But that's the joy this year. I'm getting, the last few years, been able to get more invested because I feel like the talent has been, Michigan was great to watch last year. It's a great story. You know, it's, I think college football has a good upper class of draft, like the talent that we're going to see be effective in the National Football League. And I think just college football has its balance. Even at the top, there's a balance. You know, Ohio State's competitive. Penn, all those guys are competitive. That game with Oregon, Ohio State was fantastic. And that's why this game this week with Penn and Ohio, you got to get your popcorn ready and watch that game. I think it's going to be not defense. It's going to be high scoring. It's going to be a 39-37, something stupid score, if that's even possible. 37, never heard of it. Yeah, you can get 37. Sorry, quick math.
You can do whatever you want.
Make it happen. It's going to be one of those games this weekend, and I think it's going to be a weekend full of good football action. And sports are full swing. The World Series, you got play hockey, everything's going on, and it's great. But college football, let us know what you think of college football below this year. I think it's been exciting. Now, I ate into our little bit of NFL time, but that's fine. Last week, Keuchel, point and news piece from last week that you want to talk about with the National Football League that stands out to you.
Well, I'm going to go just directly to the Colts because that's where I have to go this week. Division game, in the game, like we're very winnable game at that point. Third and almost goal, and our quarterback decides he needs a breather. You know what, everybody? No big deal. I'm just going to go take a knee on the sideline, and I'm going to take a break. What in the cinnamon toast fuck do you think? Like, why I don't even understand. Like, Mitch Marner is so far off my shit list at this point. Like, I don't even care. I don't care that Saturday night Berube said that he overplayed him, and I almost blew a gasket about that. He was tired. Yeah, okay. And then I get this on Sunday. Like, fuck me.
Something about that blue and white, man. Something about that blue and white. I'm telling you right now.
Well, like, seriously, but the part that drives me the most insane is that they put him back in. If you're a coach in any sport, in absolutely any, if your player comes to the bench and says, you know what, I need a couple minutes to take a breather. Yeah, sit down. You're not going back out there the rest of the game, so take it easy. Yeah. No big deal. Yeah.
get a beer, get a water, get a Gatorade, whatever the hell, because it doesn't matter. You're not going back out in the game.
I just don't understand how that happens. And then he goes back out and botches the fucking game. I mean, not any worse than he already was, but
it hasn't been a successful story with Anthony. Injuries, and then this comes out, and Barstool was toasting him. And I'll give Barstool credit. I read their post about him saying about the breather and it's until that final whistle blows, and if you can't handle it, get out of the sport, dude.
It's just kind of ridiculous. I mean, like, as a coach, why would you just lie? Like, as a player, just lie. Up with anything else. I had the runs. I got hit in the gut. I felt like I was going to shit my pants, so I just came off the field. We wear white pants. You know, like, come up with the most ludicrous answers that no one's going to question it. Yep. Like, don't do this to yourself. I mean, like, honestly, in the grand scheme of things, like, he's young. He's 22 years old. He just said what he just said happened. And someone has to be some protections there for the player to understand that that's not how you talk. And, like, okay, if that stays in the locker room and the locker room handles it, fine. But, like, this gets out into the media and being a Toronto sports fan, you know how fast things get out of hand in the media. And now, like, in the NFL is a global, everyone's interested in it. And if there's a story to be had, everyone's talking about it. And, like, it's not a good look. I feel bad for the guy in a sense because he's got more talent than
He's just as talented as the upper that could be.
If you can 100%. Throw a ball 80 yards fucking off your knees, like, there's something there. But honestly, maybe he just, you know, this is the right move, putting Flacco in, letting him sit back and watch a little bit. I don't know.
You know what happened in the old days, olden days, 80s, 90s, you go off on the field like that? Them Ditka days in the 80s with the Bears?
To your car and don't come back.
Don't come back. This isn't like, you know, this isn't a, there's somebody waiting in line to play next. There's players coming. There's players available. There's people that would love to play that are waiting to play. Okay. Like, there's options, and you can go to the car, start it. Don't hit a pole on your way out, drive and literally go home and retire. Okay.
Well, if you wanted to take a break at the start of next season so we can go 0-1 whatever and draft the younger Manning. Okay, yeah. Let me survive this season a little bit. Like, but yeah. Anyway, like, that's it. Very frustrating as a fan.
If you're a Colts fan, that's very frustrating. I'm glad you brought that up. You're allowed, even though you are a fan, you're talking about the Colts, there's a whole story to that. And I like that you brought that up because it makes sense.
Side note, shout out to Jameis and the Browns. Jameis Winston is the man. The way he talks, absolutely fascinating.
Yo, you only get one shot. Did I miss a chance to blow? His opportunity comes once in a lifetime, man. Quote if you know the song. If you don't know the song, I don't know what you're doing or what planet you're on. My shout out this week, and just to keep it to brief point with this, is, you know, the Commanders, man. No quit with that team, dude. You got whatever his face. Sorry, I can't remember who it is. To the crowd. Yeah.
Oh, buddy from Chicago there.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Right? And they got it with 24 seconds left. And that was, I can't remember all the games this week. I know that was the Sunday night or the Sunday game.
Yeah, it was a 4 o'clock game.
4 o'clock game, the afternoon game.
It turned into a 7:30 game.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was watching the Sunday nighter is what I kind of had on was the Sunday nighter. And, you know, I didn't see the highlights to that. Okay. I didn't see the highlights to that game. And I see the Bears get their touchdown with 24 seconds left. I'm like, oh, okay, well, they beat the Commanders, and that hurts my pickup even more. All right. This, I feel like this is that the game's over. And then the highlight I was watching, the announcers and anchor stop. They don't know what channel is on. Doesn't matter. And they said, hear this. And all you can hear is the play clock, the announcers talking. They're live in the game. And it pauses and it shows the guy on the Bears like this, whatever he's doing. Okay. He's doing his little dance, whatever, telling the fans to calm down. Okay. And I was like, oh no, I knew when I saw that exactly what was going to happen. Okay. If you don't know if that's happening live because the camera's not looking, and Daniels gets it and he gets sadder, whoever moves around gets it, and he just, yay, he throws it like that sound effect, you know, that sound effect, you know, and he fired it, what, 70 yards? I forget what just it was.
A moonshot.
That's... just an absolute cannon. And then the guy who's like, oh,
shit,
runs, and then he jumps and hits it off, and it goes to the other guy, and he gets the touchdown. Look, I'm going to tell you right now, karma is a bitch. It is a thing. I don't care what anyone says. You don't have to believe in whatever you think it is, and trust me, I'm lying to that. I'm just saying, karma is a bitch, and it is a thing in sports. Karma happens. If you go and point the scoreboard when you're up 3-1, guess what? You're going to lose that game, or you're going to lose the next 10 games. In that moment, you're like this, calm down. It's a one-touchdown game. Have you not watched any other history in football with the Packers? Packers did that against the Detroit Lions. I think that was Rodgers. That obviously it would have been Rodgers that did that a few years back. There's more. Mahomes has done it recently. Not recently, but before too, I believe. Look, anything could happen. You get that 1 second on the clock. You get the kickoff. You can run a return. Fucking Harrison in the Super Bowl against the Cardinals ran 100 yards on a return. Okay, I'm telling you right now that anything can happen in the world of football. And that Daniels kid is a fucking stud. I don't know how many times we've swore on this show. Listen, sensitive words, sensitive ears. Apologize. This isn't new. We do swear on the show.
There's passion today. There's a lot of passion.
Daniels is a stud. And that guy... No, you're not bumping with your car. You don't have to bounce with the – shut up and play. Like, if I was the coach, dude, you're done. You're sit out. I don't care who you are. You're not playing for a few weeks here, but I don't care if we're in the playoffs. You don't showboat like that. That is a joke of character.
Have some fun on the practice squad for a couple weeks.
Yeah, get your – yeah, an unpaid suspension. I don't know what it is, but that was hilarious to see. And as soon as he threw it, I'm like, no. And then the guy
– yeah.
He's trying to get there. The guy should have just stayed dancing on the sideline because he's the one who tipped it to the player anyways. He should have just stayed dancing.
I wish we could hear like his internal monologue that was going on while that all went down.
I feel like it was like, shit. And then he was too busy knowing that he fucked up. And he's running like this.
Just like
running at an incredible rate here, Harry. He's thinking that's what's going through. He's Jim Carrey running at an incredible rate here, Harry. Like that's what I think what's going through his mind. All right. And then that sound, the most annoying sound in the world, that's what was going through his mind afterwards when he was getting beaked by the fans afterwards for that joke of a character performance there. But that's hilarious. Commanders, bandwagon, not cheering for you, obviously, but I'm on it. I'm in. I love watching it. I want to see the Commanders. I love seeing the Lions do well, seeing my Steelers do well when they weren't expected to. Love football. It's great. All right, so we ate up time for news. Those are our two pieces that Justin and I have for feedback this week, okay, for football. We talked college football for 11 minutes on the show. That is a record. And now we talked love for the Colts, and we talked absolute dance moves and an absolute cannon by Daniels, 70-whatever freaking yards down the field for an absolute beauty. That will be shown on clips for years. We're going to see that. When we're old and gray, when I'm at the old folks' home, I'm going to be like, I talked about that on my podcast.
It's going to be a top 10 for a while.
For a long time. Hike, pick them, and then we're going to wrap up the episode tonight.
All right, let's do a quick score recap here, and then I'll go straight into my picks. So we got Kegger's Gridiron Picks, still in first, 82 points. EJ with the Browns is the Browns in second with 81 points. So it's getting a little taut. Up in there, and then I'm in third still at 74 points. All my Colts picks not working out for me this year. So into the pick'em this week, taking Houston over the Jets Thursday night. Even though Houston's got no receivers left, Nico Collins on the IR, Diggs now out with a torn ACL. Atlanta over Dallas on Sunday, Buffalo over Miami, Cincy over the Raiders, Cleveland over the Chargers. New England over the Titans, Washington over the Giants, Saints over Carolina, Baltimore over Denver, Philly over Jacksonville, Arizona over Chicago, Detroit over Green Bay, Rams over Seattle, Flacco over the Vikings, and Kansas City over Tampa on Monday night. Scores this week, I got KC 27, Tampa 21 in the Monday Nighter, and then Philly 24, Jacksonville 17. for a Sunday at 4 o'clock game. Points this week, the Lions again. Fewest points this week, Carolina again. That's what I got.
We love Carolina on this show. They're great. Now for Kager's Gridiron Picks, currently in first place. You know, for the last couple of years, I live in first for the first little while. Then EJ tends to find his way back, and he is after an impressive week last week. So EJ, I know you're here to defend yourself, but I'm keeping this ground this year, okay? Let me tell you, bud. We're pumped to get you back soon. But picks for this week, Thursday night, are from the top down. I got the Jets over the Texans. Tough pick. Falcons over the Cowboys. Bills over the Dolphins. Bengals over the Raiders. I got the Chargers over the Browns. Sorry to Winston and Browns fans. Titans over the Patriots. Commanders over the Giants. Absolutely. The Saints over the Panthers because the Panthers suck. Ravens over the Broncos. Eagles over the Jaguars. Jaguars are not good either. Bears over the Cardinals. They're going to come back after last week's debacle. Lions over Green Bay in a very good football game, sort of. I think the Lions still going to score lots, but I think it's still going to be a good game. Seahawks over the Rams. Vikings over the Colts. And Travis Kelce with likely Taylor Swift in attendance over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 28-14 Chiefs over the Bucks for a tiebreaker game. And the other tiebreaker got 24 Eagles, 10 Jaguars. Justin, we're pretty close in that score. Yeah. For the most points this week, I got the Buffalo Bills. Just feeling it. My second choice was the Lions, though. And guess who my last choice is with the least points in the week? Say it with me, everyone. Carolina Panthers. Ah, feel it. Yikes. Unfortunate for those Carolina Panthers, eh? No. Nonetheless, that is the Pick'ems. Let us know what you think below, who's going to win what, and interact with us like people have on TikTok. We appreciate that. Justin, another week of In the Pocket is sold. We've thrown the Hail Mary. People were dancing on the sidelines, and we got it in, and we got the score. My thumbs up this week, Steelers. Give me a thumbs up this week.
Well, it's going to be a weird one, but the people that know are going to laugh at this. Thumbs up to the Football Night in America crew for finally putting those three people behind a desk. Okay, the Jason Garrett, I forget who the other guy is, and then the chick. I'm sorry, the lady, female, whichever. She is very tall. Very, very tall. And for the last 2 years, they've had weird little Jason Garrett standing beside her staring up the entire time. Now they're at a desk, and Jason Garrett is like 3 inches taller than her.
Yeah, he had to pump the chair up.
So it's a shout out to them for finally doing that, because that is something that's probably bothered me and only me for the better part of 2 seasons.
That is a very good point. Very observant as well, Justin. I didn't even factor that in. Very observant. Love that. It is great time. Football is in the thick of it. We are there into the dog days, if you will, of the season almost. You know, it's midway point, a lot of critical games now. You want to make sure you get those wins. And let us know what you think of this NFL season up to this point. Now, Justin, next week we will have an episode we record every Tuesday, uploaded by Thursday morning, sometimes Wednesday if I'm feeling like it, but likely Thursday mornings for in time of those Thursday night football games. The Game Sports Podcast will be soon to be on Spaces. I should probably turn that the other way because of mirror image, but that is fine. That is a sticker from Spaces, and that is a community-based platform based in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, connected with Village Media that the Game Sports Podcast will be on, and hosts of the Hockey and Sports Space for the Spaces platform. If you're on TikTok, Instagram, wherever the heck you are, search the Game Sports Podcast. We're there. Follow, interact. The followers are growing up, and we appreciate that. We want the interactions. Be a part of the chat. We do this for us, but we also we enjoy what we do. We hope that you sense that, and that we hope that's why you're here, because you love to be with us while we talk sports. I want to say thank you to Brandon McCarthy. I want to say thank you to you, Justin. Next week, man, we'll be back at it.
Yeah, we'll be here another week. Another pile of excitement. Getting into November now. So get your trick-or-treating in this week, or the dad tax, whatever you got to do. Load up for snacks on Sunday, and we'll catch you next week to do a little recap.
Yep, and if I had the time, Justin, if I wasn't going to hockey and we had a little bit of time, I had a surprise for you, and I'm going to tell you what that was. It was going to be, I have a Charizard Pokemon costume. I was going to put it on, and wear a Charizard costume. Maybe I'll do that next week, even though it's beyond Halloween. I can show everyone what my costume was going to be. It'd be a fun little clip for everyone. My wife got Snorlax.
Yeah, I got a little baby shark roaming around here. So I really pushed for the family costume, tried to do the three faces of Mick Foley. I wanted Sid to be Mankind and I could be Cactus Jack and Tian Love.
That's so cool.
But it didn't really fly in the household. So I love that. Maybe next year Sid will be Mankind and I'll be the Undertaker and everybody knows.
I think we need to do a Halloween party based at the Game Sports Podcast Studios, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, I think it's Friday next year, so.
Ooh, now we're talking Halloween. We hope everyone has a great Halloween, because that's when this is going to be uploaded, is on Halloween, everybody. So get out there when you hear this. Please be safe. Don't accept candy from strangers.
Or bring it to me.
Or bring it to me. But yeah, you have to accept it from strangers at their door, but don't do it on the street. And if you see someone in a Mike Myers mask on the street, and they're just staring at you and following, Mike Myers doesn't run, so just run. Don't be one of those horror movies and slip and fall. Get up and run. Okay? Happy Halloween to everyone. We hope everyone has a great Halloween and everyone is safe. And don't be shy to show us your costumes too. That would be fun. Maybe we'll compare whose costume's better between mine next week when I show everyone my Charizard one. Justin, thank you again. Brandon, thank you again. Thank you again to viewers and the listeners. We'll be back next week here on The Game for more talk. And we plan for an action-packed agenda more so next week. Could be an interview show. Just saying. Baseball for the World Series has been hot. There's a lot going on that we'll get into more next week. But we had hockey and football here, so make sure you interact with us on your thoughts about the update on the gridiron and on the ice. And again, follow us on all platforms. Until next week, I'm here to remind you, keep your stick on the ice, swing your bats, catch your touchdowns, drain your threes, and shoot your shots. Booyah.